Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trump blinks on his trade war with China, but the damage might have already been done.
It could still lead to a recession, the ripple effects and reverberations of that. And you just scratch your head and say, wasn't there a better way to get to this point?
The Port of Los Angeles, where cargo activities have slowed to a crawl, is eager to get back to business, but it's going to take a minute.
We've got summer fashion coming up, back to school, the all-important year-end holidays, with prices that are definitely higher for goods coming from China, which means they will more than likely be passed on to the consumer.
And why are friendly, plump, and pleasant squirrels increasingly being looked at as a threat in Santa Monica?
It's all Disney until one of those things bites someone.
Welcome to the LA Local for Monday, May 12th, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service, big squirrel supporter over here. You'll hear more about that later in the show. Thanks for kicking off your week with us on today's Local. The Port of Los Angeles is open and eager for business after a slight thaw in the Trump trade war, but are cargo ships steaming back? Governor Gavin Newsom warns California cities to start clamping down on homeless encampments, and squirrels in Santa Monica are too friendly for their own good. Let's start with President Trump backing away from the worst of his 145% tariffs on Chinese imports in what the administration heralded as a new trade deal with China, which in reality is really more of an agreement to keep talking. How did we get here? What does the future look like for imports flowing back into the American marketplace? And was all of this necessary? I called up Washington Post economics columnist Heather Long for some answers. My first question, can we really even call this a trade deal?
I think maybe a truce is a better word, a de-escalation. It's obviously not a deal. There's not a ton of terms here and details, but it's a clear cooling off. And they did, both sides did agree to significantly reduce the tariffs that were in place. And that's a game changer.
What did we get out of this entire exercise?
If the Trump administration were doing this interview, they would probably say it's the art of the deal. We showed that we were serious and we were actually willing to do, worst case scenario. And that's why China and other countries now want to negotiate. I think anybody who lives in reality thinks that what happened in April was unnecessary, was really devastating in many ways. It could still lead to a recession, the ripple effects and reverberations of that. And you just scratch your head and say, wasn't there a better way to get to this point?
All right. And then I guess that is my next short question. What was the point?
It's hard to keep track. The President Trump and his top team members, they use so many different justifications for this trade war. They say everything from we're doing it to stop fentanyl or stop migration coming into the United States to we hate the trade deficit and we think that that's harming the U.S. economy to they want to bring back manufacturing jobs and grow the industrial base again, reindustrialization of the United States. So it's sort of like pick your poison. Or the fourth thing they talk about is wanting to raise revenue, wanting to use tariffs. They keep claiming that tariffs are paid from foreign countries and that's going to fill our pockets here in the United States so that they can fund the tax bill that they're working on at the same time. A lot of those four big ideas conflict with each other. So it's really difficult to tease out why we're actually doing this. But I think the big picture is one of the few things that Donald Trump has been consistent on from the first days he entered the media world in the 70s and 80s is he really thinks that other nations have been ripping off the United States of America. And this is his response to it.
So still not a lot of clarity about why this trade fight was necessary or what we gained out of the chaos. So let's head over to the Port of Los Angeles, the biggest cargo shipping port in the United States, where cargo traffic has slowed to a crawl as President Trump kept ramping up tariffs. I talked about the trade war pause with port CEO Gene Soroka. Short term, What does your reality look like for the next couple of weeks and months? Do you expect to see a rush of importers really ramping up activity to take advantage of this 90-day pause between Trump and China?
The short-term look at the Port of Los Angeles is still for pretty low cargo volume. About 20% of our scheduled ships have been canceled, and we're estimating a downturn by about 25% on the cargo volume coming through. That said, we're only 12 hours into this pause, this 90-day discussion with China. And importers, exporters alike are telling me that they're evaluating what the economics of these new tariffs will be. 30% on import goods is still very expensive, but there are some critical items that need to come over, and 30 is better than 145% tariff. On the export side, a 10% tariff may be just enough to restart some of our important groupings, like our agricultural sector. But we also have to have the vessel space and containers ready, and that's what we're working on right now. The operational effects of this announcement on the ground, both in Asia and the United States.
So then midterm, looking off into summer, the holiday retail season stocking process has been a major point of conversation for the past couple of weeks. Can you do anything with this kind of 90-day pause? As you mentioned, 30% tariffs is still expensive. There still is that air of uncertainty. What does the midterm look like?
We're going to have to rely on experience, education, and maybe even some forecasting. May is traditionally the month where major retailers put in orders for holiday goods. There may be fewer orders based on higher prices. Some folks in the toy segment also, who really work towards this year-end sales scenario, are seeing prices go up right away, even at the 30% mark. So we've got summer fashion coming up, back to school, the all-important year-end holidays, with prices that are definitely higher for goods coming from China, which means they will more than likely be passed on to the consumer.
China, 30%, and then, of course, the across-the-board 10% tariff on imports. I talked to an economist this morning. They said on the 10%, you might get enough people in the supply chain to eat portions of those tariff costs, where not that much will pass down to consumers. That's going to get harder with 30% on Chinese goods. What's your view from the port?
Agreed. You know, it was only in November when many of us were really worried about 4% inflation here at home. Now, adding 10% to goods that are coming in from a number of countries and 30% on product coming in from China can only be additive to inflation. So retailers and small to medium-sized businesses alike are going to have to gauge how much product to bring in, at what price points, what consumers will be willing to pay, and what their own margins look like to take care of their businesses. This is going to be a challenge and pretty much uncharted territory for the American economy.
There is still a long way to go in sorting out the Trump trade war. Remember, there's still a 10% tariff on all imports coming into the United States. And now we have two 90-day pauses on these heightened tariffs, one for China and another for tariffs on Canadian and Mexican imports. So we could be going through this whole song and dance once more in the near future. Stay tuned. Let's go quickly over to Governor Gavin Newsom, who today announced that he's included $3 billion in his budget proposal to pay for shelter beds and support services across the state for the homeless population. He says it's not a problem that can be ignored.
Overall homelessness across the country went up 18.13% this year. You know, before I got here, we had a five-year run where we saw a 50% increase in the homeless population. We finally tempered that, and that's the effort of local elected officials in partnership with community-based organizations and leaders of all stripes that are making progress. But it's not even.
But here's where it gets interesting. Newsom sounded irritated that more California cities haven't been far more aggressive in clearing out homeless encampments and enforcing anti-camping ordinances.
There's parts of the state that, frankly, aren't even participating. There's a classic example of a community that refused to put a dollar in to receive hundreds of thousands of dollars of state funding for a shelter. They've simply turned their back in terms of accountability and responsibility. And I wonder, and I say this with respect, on the crisis of our time, I wonder if local representatives there deserve to lead the people of those communities, when they're leaving people out in the streets and sidewalks, and the state has come in with unprecedented support.
This bears watching, Newsom's approach to California cities over homeless policy. So stay tuned. We'll have a lot more to come on this later in the week. All right, quick break here to take care of some business. And then we're back with the most important story of the day, the squirrel threat in Santa Monica. Are friendly squirrels really a nuisance? Or are city officials playing the roles of Disney villains? Be right back. It's the LA Local.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for hanging with us on this Monday edition of the LA Local. I'm your squirrely host, Jonathan Service. See what I did there? The squirrels in Santa Monica have become far too friendly and too plentiful for their own good. The city is actively trying to discourage residents and tourists from feeding the squirrels, but it doesn't seem to be working. And now there's a fear that burrowing squirrels could pose an actual threat for the cliffsides overlooking PCH. So our Karen Adams went out to the bluffs on Ocean Avenue to see it for herself and came away with what I can only call a squirrel-hating attitude.
It's in Palisades Park, and it's just an overpopulation of ground squirrels. There are so many of them, and what's interesting about these squirrels, it's like a petting zoo. They come up to you. They're not afraid of people. I interviewed a man from Germany, visiting from Germany, who was actually petting one. And these squirrels are domesticated, and it's all because it's not a good reason why they're domesticated, because they shouldn't be. They're wild animals.
Yeah, but
they're wild.
Well, hang on. Before we get to the negatives, what's so bad about friendly squirrels? Has anybody been bit, or is there rabies danger?
There's always a potential for rabies because they are wild. They're rodents. However, you know, the people I spoke with today did not tell me. They said they're very friendly. They're like a tourist attraction. That's what a couple of them told me. They do attract a lot of attention because you walk in the park and there they are. They're out there on the grass and they're milling about. And
give a sense, how many? We're talking dozens? We're talking hundreds? Wow, okay.
Hundreds of these squirrels. And it's so interesting. I thought I was going to be terrified, but no, I was among them. They come right up to you. I was just afraid of stepping on one because they're that docile, but they shouldn't be.
Do they show any sign of aggression? Like if you're not feeding them, do they get pissed off?
They weren't upset because these squirrels look like they have not missed one meal. They are plump squirrels. They are chubby.
Okay.
They are chubby squirrels. They're not missing meals.
So what is then the city of Santa Monica doing to dissuade people from feeding them or even trying to scare off the squirrels?
They're not doing any measure. They just have signs up saying, please do not. They're just emphasizing, do not feed the squirrels. The reason why they come up to you, because people have been feeding them, so they expect you to give them food. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, sure enough, a woman came up, had a bag full of, I believe it was bread crumbs, and she fed them, and they gathered around her, and they fed. The crows came. They wanted their portion.
Nice. It's like around a diverse little smorgasbord. I like it, though. Everybody wait patiently, you know, like everyone take turns.
Yes. There was nothing. There were no skirmishes.
I'm failing to see the downside of this, though. I mean,
there's a downside. Okay. There is a downside because an overpopulation of these squirrels, because they burrow in the bluff, you know, they make their homes in the bluff there. They're holes. And this bluff is over PCH. They can damage the land, causing possible landslides. That's the danger.
Wow. Okay. I mean, so far you're describing a Disney movie come to life where the meeting of different animal species are like, you know, hanging out with Snow White and getting fed and protecting their human friends, and everything's cool, man. But you're telling me, I mean, could it get to the point where it actually could destabilize the cliffsides?
It could, but in San Luis Obispo, they have an overpopulation of squirrels at its Pismo Beach. And they've been told by FEMA, the federal government, to look, get a hold of this or you're going to lose your bluffs.
Yeah.
So that could happen. However, the people that I spoke to, they've been there for 10 or more years, and they said these squirrels, they've been around, they've been doing this forever, and they're doesn't seem to be a problem.
They're well invested in Santa Monica real estate. They put down roots there. It's expensive property now. They're hesitant to leave. I don't blame them.
But Jonathan, it's all Disney until one of those things bites someone.
Okay. All right, well, I'm on Team Squirrel, but that's Karen Adams. She hates squirrels. You can take it up with her. Go ahead and email her at Odyssey.
I don't hate squirrels.
Once again, you can address your letters of disappointment and Karen Adams' squirrel animosity to CanX or Odyssey. We'll make sure she sees them. This has been your LA Local for Monday, May 12th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. I, for one, welcome our new squirrel overlords. See you tomorrow.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.